Dr. Bud Labatin is a physician and investor who has written books related to value investing and making smarter decisions. I've read a number of his books, and I've had him on the show in the past to describe the art of investing. His latest book is Sports and Stocks, Quality Business Investing. Also, from time to time, I'll ask Bud to analyze some companies that I'm thinking about. Welcome back to the show, Bud.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So today we're going to talk about the art and science of individual investing. But my first question is kind of a broader question.
Sure.
In a world of index investing where everybody's going what they call passive, and there's this sense that, you know, it's very hard to beat the basic indexes, why would anyone try their hand at individual stock picking?
Well, I agree with you that the population of individual stock pickers is probably smaller than one would think. I think it takes an individual who has a passion and an interest for looking into the details and who enjoys looking at the whole business.
Yeah, some people feel more comfortable investing in singular companies that they can kind of, in a sense, feel a tangible relationship to.
Yes.
As opposed to an index, which, you know, again, doesn't seem to have this quality of tangibility. And also, I feel, though I do a lot of passive investing, index investing myself and for clients, sometimes it's just nice to know, especially in a market decline, the name, you know, that you're investing in, whether it's, and I'm just picking this out of the air, you know, a Disney or a Procter & Gamble, something that feels like, you know, it's not going to disappear in a bad recession or the like. So let's get into this idea of investing in individual stocks. Your first tenet is to find high-quality bargains. What does that actually mean?
It means to find a business that has enduring qualities. I know in our last interview, we talked about the philosophy of Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, and your listeners can review that one. But getting back to what you said about this is not for everybody, and it does take time, training, and temperament. If a person doesn't have the time, training, and temperament, they should leave it up to investment professionals like yourself.
Right. Or just do some passive investing like Warren Buffett says, right?
Right.
Okay. So you're trying to find high quality bargains.
Bargains.
What is the definition of a high quality stock? I mean, we hear about blue chip. We kind of know, but what does it mean to you?
To me, in one of the chapters, chapter 7 of Sports and Stocks, I simplified it so that it would keep the readers out of bad and mediocre businesses. So I'll just read those 4 points to you, Steve.
Okay.
One is find a business that is producing positive free cash flow, or FCF, and stay away from these startups that are not yet producing positive free cash flow. The second thing is find a business that's producing a net profit margin greater than 10%. Buffett likes 15% and higher, but I think if you can at least eliminate the ones under 10% profit margin, you can filter out a lot of bad and mediocre businesses.
Okay.
The third one is look for a business that has a debt-to-equity ratio less than 2-to-1. Now, there are some exceptions to this rule because the debt-to-equity ratio can be a tricky one because young companies that are financed mainly by equity, they're going to appear as if they have hardly any debt because no one will loan them money.
Yeah.
On the flip side, a great company like Coca-Cola can handle a little bit more debt because it's got a steady stream of free cash flow.
Yeah.
But in general, you want to keep that debt-to-equity ratio less than 2-to-1.
I mean, if you were a banker, and you were going to be lending a company money, you would want to see whether their earnings and cash flow were steady or they were cyclical, and because it would really matter. If you've got steady income like a Coca-Cola or something, they can take on more debt, and as a banker, you can afford to lend them more because you feel safer with regards to the ability of getting your interest paid and you're getting your money back. If it's a company that's very cyclical and does poorly in bad economic times, I think you're going to want a lower debt-to-equity ratio. Would that be accurate?
That's very accurate. That's exactly correct. And just to add on to what you said there, mm-hmm. during these economic times, while the interest rates are still low, I believe Coca-Cola is slightly above that too. I think it's at about 2.3 or 2.4. Mm-hmm. But item number four on the list is you want a company that's producing a return on equity greater than 10%. And of course, higher than that is even better.
Yeah. So it's return on equity, folks, means if you look at the book value of a company, take all the assets minus all the liabilities, and you end up with really kind of what the stockholder owns, the book value. And then you look at the earnings and you kind of figure out the ratio. Well, what is the earnings relative to that book value? That's what he's talking about when he says, you know, the return on equity.
Right.
Because as a stockholder, that's really what matters, is what you as a stockholder are getting relative to the investment that you've made. Now, Bud, you have written this book, Sports and Stocks, Quality Business Investing. So you've really used the sports as a great metaphor for investing. So let's start with the first sport that you write about, and that's football.
Yes.
Why is football a good analogy to successful investing?
Well, football, for fans of football who know that the idea of winning football is based on three major areas: offense, defense, and special teams. Now, in this context, I'm talking about offense, defense, and special situations. And in the book, I talk about some of the things that the Chicago Bears have done. And also, I talk about the role of the special teams and the special situations. I just wanted to make people aware that there are winning ideas in sports that can relate to winning ideas in investing. And the major point there is preparation, knowledge of the game, knowing how to deal with wins and losses, the mental toughness, the emotionality of the game. And our primary goal, as you so rightly said earlier, is to find a high-quality business, mm-hmm. HQB.
Yeah. All right. So football is kind of your basic, your passing, your running play, your pass play, your kicking.
Mm-hmm.
The second chapter, though, is basketball. How does basketball relate it? If you love basketball and you understand how teams work, how can you then make that transfer to the idea of investing successfully?
In basketball, we can look at different aspects. We can look at it from the player's point of view, from the coach's point of view, and also from the organizational point of view. And one of the basketball players I mentioned in there is the famous Laker player, Jerry West, who was mentally tough. He constantly worked on learning and improving his game. As a young player, he was more of a penetrator, but as an older player, he started to develop his outside shot. He was a great team player, and he was also a very unselfish player. Mm-hmm. So what I was trying to relate to the readers is that in investing, we can learn a lot on our own, but just like I have learned from you, and hopefully you've learned a few things from me, there's a knowledge sharing there that if you're going to do this as an individual, you kind of have to have the passion for continuous learning.
I think the one thing about basketball, too, is you must have the ability to make quick decisions. And I know that a great investor, once knowing all the rules, knowing how things work, how, and I guess in basketball, you know, how the other team is setting up, what your strategy is, but seeing opportunity and being able to act on it very quickly. I know Warren Buffett does that from time to time, and so do other great investors. So this ability.
You brought up a good point there. Yeah, that's a great point, because in sports, they have to make instantaneous decisions, whereas in value investing, you can take the time and do the preliminaries, you can go through the four filters, and then you can do that, what one book calls the second level thinking. I think Daniel Kahneman, in his book about behavioral finance, called it slow thinking. You have fast thinking, and then you also have slow thinking.
Slow thinking, yeah. My guest is Dr. Bud Labatan. The book is Sports and Stocks, Quality Business Investing. I think one of the best metaphors, and I use this all the time when I'm talking about investing, is the baseball metaphor. I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder here. Warren Buffett always talks about the ability to stand at the plate when you're investing, and not to be subject to any balls or strikes, to just be able to stand there and receive pitch after pitch until you get that one pitch.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it the fat pitch, where you just know it's the sweetest thing that you can hit, and that ball is going to be hit out of the park. And he waits and waits, the patient investor waits for the fat pitch.
Oh, exactly. You're referring to him talking about Ted Williams in his book, The Science of Hitting,
yeah,
where you wait just for that right pitch. And that's the beauty of value investing, is that you don't have to swing right away. You can take your time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, baseball, we've got, what about the coaching aspect of sports? That's incredibly important. How does that relate to being a successful investor?
The coaching, I sort of divided that into the external coach and the internal coach. The external coach, you can learn from reading, from listening to your podcast, Steve, from other documentaries, and also mentors. Charlie Munger refers to them as the wise dead, people who have already passed on.
The wise dead.
Yeah, but have left a legacy of, you know, useful thought.
Uh-huh.
So that encompasses the whole external coaching.
Mm-hmm.
The internal coach that I refer to is the desire and passion to do your homework and try to look at these things from different angles and try to teach yourself more things.
You know, listeners, if any questions come to mind, don't forget that you can write in your questions to us at stevepomerantz.com. You can, of course, hear this interview again. You can see a transcript or a summary about this interview and find out more about Bud's book. The book is Sports and Stocks, Quality Business Investing. Earlier, Bud, we talked about mental toughness. I was thinking about the game of golf in particular. A lot of great players, great technical players in the game of golf, but that particular sport seems to require a tremendous amount of mental toughness. What do you think about that?
You know, I wish I had added a chapter on golf, but I remember one of my book reviewers mentioned golf, and I agree with you that it does take discipline. And there's also, I think in golf as well as investing, one should have a certain degree of calmness. I used to play with a fellow who was physically gifted, and he was well trained, and he had a beautiful swing. And you would think that this guy could have been a professional golfer, but every hole after the first hole, he would be so critical on himself that his game would just deteriorate. And by the time we got to the 18th hole, he had basically torn himself apart mentally.
Yeah.
So there's a certain degree of framing and calmness.
Yeah.
And anyone who gets into this should enjoy the process.
Well, you know, the thing about a game, especially for amateurs, is, you know, you play the game of golf, you play football, so, you know, you should play.
Mm-hmm.
You should have fun and play, and it shouldn't be quite so serious. You know, the fact with golf, though, is at the very end, when we're talking about high-level professional golf, you get to the 17th hole, it's the last round of the day, everything is at stake. I mean, that's really where you see the real mental toughness coming out. And investing, you do need a lot of mental toughness. Investing is simple, but it's not easy. And there's a lot of times your thesis that you kind of feel is right and you know is right and you've done all the math and you've checked and checked and checked, and yet the investment is still going against you.
Let me add two things to what you're saying there, Steve. On that mental toughness chapter, I also talk a little bit about mental flexibility and the ability to keep an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also talk about mental efficiency, which is sort of like time management. So that chapter title is kind of a misnomer or misheading. But I think if folks read the book or listen to the audiobook that's coming from audible.com, they'll kind of get the idea that hopefully it will stimulate them to look at it from different mental aspects.
Yeah. So this is a book that I recommend. I think it's a book that will take you through these first steps. And plus, there's some really good examples of individual stocks and how to think about them, and to give you kind of a springboard to dig deeper. And, you know, Dr. Labatin's books will do just that. The Four Filters is an excellent one on how to think about and structure the idea of how to invest in stocks. And if we've raised more questions than we've answered, don't forget that you can hear this interview again by coming to our website, which is stevepomerantz.com. And you know, if you want to get these and more informative interviews straight to your inbox, subscribe to our weekly update. Again, that's stevepomerantz.com. Bud Labatin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Steve. And I hope your listeners find this both entertaining, stimulating, and profitable to them.